Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, so you will have noticed that over the past week or so, social media and indeed mainstream media, but social media especially, has been flooded with images of and content around Luigi Mangione. Mangione is the 26-year-old suspect in the shocking murder of Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. And I suppose what you could only call a kind of a circus has sprung up online around him now. Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast, joins us now to discuss this curious kind of ghoulish side of the internet and what it all means for America. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon.
Okay, first, remind us who exactly this guy is.
Ivy League, good-looking dude, which is a big part of this, as we'll get to, comes from a wealthy background. Prior to Wednesday, the 4th of December, very few people knew who he was. And now he's a worldwide name, as is the victim here. But the victim becomes secondary to the story. The story becomes secondary because the reaction, as you've kind of teased there, online in particular, has been out of control. This is okay. A mutation the likes of which we've never seen before.
And it started, I guess, with the murder. There was kind of imagery came out of that and everything. And that in itself was quite shocking, wasn't it, the way it all happened?
Yeah, there was CCTV footage of a man walking up to another man on the street and taking aim at him with a gun and firing. And that very quickly went viral on the internet. You know, it was included in some news reports on American television. It wasn't really hidden from the world at all. It was out there straight away. And, you know, it happened at 7 a.m. American time. So it was kind of coming out here in the afternoon on that Wednesday. And we were kind of seeing it in the newsroom I work in and being like, have you seen this? You know, like, it's kind of not something you expect to see every day. But again, this is a reminder that this is a very uniquely American and a very uniquely modern killing.
So social media went into overdrive very quickly. What was the tenor of the kind of reaction?
Everything from the superficial to the substantial, and it has only grown legs ever since. Kind of starts off, as you would expect, shock. What am I seeing? Is this real? You know, questions about that, especially because we live in the age now of the AI deepfake. So, you know, is this even a thing that happened? Can I trust my eyes? Can I trust what I'm seeing? But very quickly, when we realized who the victim was, and crucially, what he represents, which is the top of the tower of the American healthcare system and the insurance system around that, people were kind of saying, do we have, you know, a professional hitman here? Do we have maybe a Robin Hood type figure? Is this, you know, a case of like targeting the rich? Is it an attack on the 1%? So it went from there and it started developing this big conversation about disparity in America and American society. But once the images of this man were released by the police, I think on the Thursday evening, people got a look at him and decided that, in fact, this is a conventionally attractive man. And as a result, the reason I'm laughing is because gallows humor just exploded and people online were all but writing, you know, marriage proposals to this man.
Okay, which will seem to somebody from a certain generation, people who aren't very online, this will seem completely inappropriate. So we have two sides to this then. So there's the look side to him and that basically became a kind of a meme then, a thirst trap kind of meme. The folk hero thing then, so there's a sense in which this guy has become a kind of is it like channeling the resentment against corporate America and the healthcare system?
Massively, yeah. He is now the avatar for that exact thing. And that's why you hit people online very, very quickly saying things like, well, I'm not going to have sympathy for this man who was killed because I pay 60 grand a year and my insurance claims don't actually get accepted. You know, my child needs help all the time. I need help all the time. I can't afford to go to the emergency room. So a lot of people are seeing this as just desserts for a man who got involved and profited from choosing who lives and dies in America. So like this person that's come along, you know, while yes, there's people, as you say, thirsting over Luigi Mangione, there's also people kind of saying like, well, we needed this to happen. And that's apparently what his manifesto allegedly says, this needed to happen. And people are agreeing with that. I was talking to someone, a friend of mine who actually lives near the building in New York. And she said, in her own words, all of New York stands with this man.
Really? I mean, this is just extraordinary. So is part of this that like social media is that the traditional standards of morality? I mean, this guy, Brian Thompson, is a victim of a shocking murder. Luigi Mangione is a murderer. But is there a sense that like, I don't know, is everything just ironic kind of meme content for the internet now?
we are living in the ultimate post-irony experience right now. And I think when Elon Musk sank tens of billions into what was then Twitter, now X, he didn't just end up with a new president out of the back of this. He's also set some incredibly dangerous precedents along the way, because it is participatory and it is a case of throwing yourself out there. And you can do so anonymously. You know, like I could go on the internet today and come up with a meme or a joke about this and then go into my office tomorrow and like feign shock at what is happening. I recall, you know, back in 2013...
Okay, so like the internet is becoming the dark subconscious of a lot of people then.
It's socially acceptable now, much more than it ever was. This type of stuff used to kind of live on forums like 4chan and kind of Reddit and so on. And, you know, we kind of have the idea in our heads that it's just kind of lads in basements, et cetera, et cetera. It really isn't. It's everything from, you know, just our own friends, I'm sure, are enjoying this. Lots of people think it's very, very funny because of what it says about America. And I think there's a desensitization here as well. But I was going to say, like, I remember back in 2013, Charlie Brooker did the show on Channel 4 about the 25 video games that changed the world and, you know, Space Invaders, Grand Theft Auto. But at number one, he had Twitter. And I remember at the time rolling my eyes and being, oh, that's so clever, clever. But like in the 11 years since, you know, he's been proven correct, because it's currency. It's currency if you go online and your meme skyrockets and gets a million retweets and Okay. Everyone's looking at it. You then have points and you can't really do anything with them in real life. But that is how online conversations have gone. And this thing is a perfect storm for everything. And of course, in the middle of all this, you have people screaming at each other about, was he right, was he wrong? Should this have happened at all?
Interesting what you say there, though, that basically engagement is the only metric now on the internet. Yeah, right, wrong, whatever, doesn't come into it. If people engage with it, then it wins.
Look at movies. Look at the box office now. I mean, like, there's some people that would tell you that work for film companies that it's more important to be trending on TikTok than it is to get box office receipts. It's more important to be in the conversation on people's phones, even if only for a minute. And this thing has lasted for, what, over a week now, a week and a half? I mean, we're still talking about it. It's still got legs. We still want to know where it's going to go. And I would expect that right to be negotiated as we speak for documentaries, for feature films. This is also the Ryan Murphyification of this. The last time I was on with you, we were talking about the Menendez brothers. I have to imagine that, you know, someone from some streaming platform is beating down the door to try and nail an exclusive thing on this, because this isn't going to go away anytime soon.
And people have already cast it, indeed, haven't they?
Well, fan casting, yeah. People think that this guy looks like the actor Dave Franco, so they want it to be
him. Yeah, which he does.
Or it'll be someone younger and more chiseled, even though Luigi Mangione is quite chiseled, you know, a guy who hit the gym. Again, you look at there's an upcoming series on the serial killer Ed Gein. They've cast Charlie Hunnam in that, a ridiculously good-looking man. I mean, like, this is kind of how it's gone now. But all of this enables us to kind of take a step back from it. I mean, it's a passive form of radicalization, because we're not really participating in it, even though we're making these gags. You know, we don't know these people. They're far away. They don't, like, it's not real. We don't think this is real.
But this victim is not a real person, too.
A father of two, shot in the back, you know, like, in cold blood. I mean, like, whether you agree with what he stood for or not, I mean, that is, at the end of the day, there is a dead person at the heart of this. And there is a suspected killer being celebrated as a hero.
And is the thing is, I suppose, that there's a concern now that there are real world consequences to this. Like, I've heard people use the phrase like that political violence has now gone mainstream. And that, I suppose, if you take into account the Trump assassination attempts as well.
Yeah, are the Wild West days back? People are wondering, like, is this now an acceptable way to settle civil disputes, particularly in America? And, you know, there's a case now of a woman who's, I think, up in court in Florida because she got angry on the phone and threatened her insurance agent and used the phrase that was carved on the shell casings, allegedly, in this case as well. And it's a case of selective rhetoric. I mean, what can you say? What can't you say? What is a threat? What isn't a threat? But it's spilling over into the real world. This does have real world consequences. And it's a long time coming that America looked at its healthcare system, because that's ultimately what we believe this to be about. Luigi Mangione had an alleged manifesto that's been kind of short and sweet and read out, like, you know, by a few people, but he hasn't had a chance to kind of speak at length yet. We saw him outside the courthouse shouting, you know, at the watching
media. I think
media.
It's very dangerous to start suggesting, you know, that this might start a useful conversation, is it? Or I mean, I don't know at this stage.
Well,
is that, you know,
it's a conversation that probably needs to be had. I mean, like, you can't justify a murder. You can't say that Brian Thompson's killing, and it was a killing, and it was a cowardly killing. He shot in the back, didn't have a chance to defend himself. You can't say that that's a good thing that happened. But there are people around the world, not just America, who are standing up and saying, well, this reflects the complete and utter how broken the system is in the world. You know, in Ireland, the health system is on its knees, but it shouldn't financially cripple you to go in there. In America, like I say, there are people who are dying because they simply cannot afford healthcare.
Yeah, I think there's no comparison between the access people have to healthcare here and America. So politically, What are the ramifications? I think the right-leaning politicians have difficulties with the whole issues around this, do they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's a case of let's automatically blame the left when anything like this ever happens. We saw it with the Trump attempted assassination. Turns out that that guy was not anything close to a radical leftist. Luigi Mangione, from the digital footprint he's left behind, would appear to be maybe somewhere in the centre. But so in a strange way, it's uniting the left and the right. But you had the likes of Ben Shapiro, prolific Daily Wire commentator, initially come out and say, he's left, this is what they do. And then quickly was kind of forced into a bit of a backtrack. And then when he read out that manifesto, he kind of had the same kind of quandaries that we're having and not quite knowing how to speak about it. So not that I'm anticipating that right-wing politicians are suddenly going to find themselves in a more grounded area, but it's not as black and white as they would perhaps want it to be. They can't just blame
this
guy.
I have to say, I think it's pretty black and white that like maybe there's a conversation we had around healthcare in America, but that in any way having it off the back of this or saying that this guy has in any way helped this conversation, I would think maybe it's old-fashioned, is just not right. So in a sense, like, it's interesting what you said, just to finish up about these people not being real people to anyone. So are we now in the situation where real news and serious things like murders, they're now just all kind of characters in the internet, which is amorally washes through whatever's going on. It could be a disgraced soap star one minute, it's a guy murdering a guy another minute, but it's all just, they're the characters on the internet this week.
The one word that you didn't use there is content. Everything is content, and we hate using that word, but unfortunately that is how it's gone. Everything is reduced to just a thing I can interact with briefly and then put my phone away and talk to my friends or play a video game or do something else. That is unfortunately the way that the world has moved, and social media is a huge, huge part of it. I mean, you can't blame it for everything. You'd like to think that maybe online I'm expressing a view that I don't fully believe, and I just want to participate in this wild spiraling conversation and get some internet credit or credibility, so to speak. But okay, at the same time, the lines between real life and the internet have never been more blurred with this.
Whoa. Okay. Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast. Thanks very much for that. We'll take a break.